Hi, my name is Peter, formerly Simon Peter, and I want to tell you a bit about my life. It was a beautiful day at work. Genuinely, I loved my job. I got to sit in my boat, hang out with my brother Andrew, have a laugh, and catch some fish. We were never rich, don't get me wrong, but we were doing all right. We had enough to get by, and then some to play with. We were happy, content, and to be honest, I wouldn't have changed it for the world. Or so I thought. Well, anyway, on this beautiful day, a man was walking along the shore. We just started another day of fishing. We were all set, and then he spoke. He spoke. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I will send you out to fish people." It wasn't curiosity or hypnosis or even desire. It was him. We both just knew that we had to follow him. Our lives would never be the same. So we followed. We knew that this man had a presence. We knew that there was something about him that we just wanted to be around. So we chose to walk his way. I don't think either of us even checked that our boats were moored before we got up and left. I reckon our nets were still out. But, and I can't speak for Andrew, I never looked back. I had a new life now, and this man was special. It took me a while, but it wouldn't be long before I realized he was much, much more than just that. So we kept going and began to get to know this man. His name was Jesus. His name is Jesus, but more on that a bit later. The next town round, we saw Zebedee, a good man, Zebedee, and his boys, James and John. Jesus called them, and they followed him straight away as well. James and John just knew that they had to be with this man, Jesus, had to follow him. And for a group of us with no real education, we had suddenly come across the greatest teacher of all time. Our lives had changed, but we just knew that it was worth it. And I still get letters from family and friends who have never been in the presence of Jesus. "Why did you leave us behind to follow this stranger? What can he possibly have to offer other than a lifetime of walking and poverty?" In many ways, they were not wrong. Following Jesus has not been easy. Of course, seeing miracles, experiencing some amazing hospitality, and being in the presence of the man we now call the Messiah has been astounding. And I wouldn't ever hope to change that. But we've also spent many days confused. We've been involved in riots. We've been stigmatized by the Pharisees. But worst of all, we've seen the death of the one we chose to follow on a cross. The Jesus way has been the hardest choice, the biggest challenge imaginable. And there have been moments when I thought it would have been better just to have stayed in that safety of that boat. But in reality, I could never choose to leave Jesus. Jesus led from the front, and he's made my path straight as well. He never promised me that following him would be easy. He never kept me as a captive. I was always free to go whenever I wanted. But I chose to stay in the Jesus way. And here's the good news. He keeps his promises. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. It was the worst experience of my life. But then I saw him again in the flesh. And everything he'd ever said suddenly made sense. He had come so that I may have life and live it to the full. I now know why I followed that man with the presence. Jesus is Lord, and now I will give my life to show others the same. The Jesus way is not easy, but as he's defeated death, it is worth it. And I just pray that others follow that path as well. So as I say, that was a narrative taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 22. And the fishermen of this time may well have been on a boat very similar to this. This is a boat called the Sea of Galilee boat, and it's actually been carbon dated from the time of Jesus. It may be the very boat that we talk about in this passage of the disciples leaving. There's no evidence of that, there's no proof of that, but it's a possibility. And there's a very good chance that Jesus and the disciples would at the very least know of this boat and its owners. I find this really exciting, this kind of image, this kind of find, because it just proves to me that Jesus isn't just some historical figure. We still have fingerprints of Jesus on this earth through things such as the discovery of this boat. Jesus was on this earth. And while he was here, there was a magnetism. People followed him. People wanted to follow him, however difficult that may be. And we are the inheritors of the impact of their decisions, the impact of the answers to the call that he made them. Now, Peter and Andrew would both go on to be crucified as a direct result of that decision to follow Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, would be killed shortly after. But they all still followed the calling of Jesus and stayed with him and are still with him now. Why? I'm left scratching my head often of why did they immediately get off that boat and follow him? And I think it's a very interesting question, and one that maybe we take for granted. Jesus was a standard 30-year-old Jewish carpenter, a craftsman. They were fishermen. He did not have anything particularly attractive in his features, which would make him popular. We know this because in Isaiah 53, verse 2, God says that when his servant comes, his servant being Jesus, that he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. It's important to know why these disciples chose to follow Jesus, because it's not as simple as leaving a difficult life for what they thought was an easy life. And there are a few theories kicking about as to why these four men in the prime of their lives chose to follow somebody that looked so much like them. One is that they may have heard of John the Baptist, had seen that his disciples had become important people, and had decided that they wanted a bit of that. I don't buy that, though. These were guys with jobs. These were guys with families. They weren't just going to drop it all in the hope that this guy might have been like John the Baptist. Another theory is that Andrew knew John the Baptist personally and trusted him that Jesus was the Messiah. This maybe rings a bit more truth, perhaps. But I still can't picture disciples giving up their jobs, their income, their families for a man they did not know for sure was to be the Messiah. I mean, they were going to be occasionally homeless. They did not follow Jesus on a whim. And how do I know that? Because they were normal people, much like you and I and our families. They were normal people. And we know how difficult it is to persuade normal people that following Jesus is the right way to live our lives. We know how stubborn we are. We know how stubborn our family and friends can be. And the more I've read this passage, the more I've been amazed by the simplicity of the actual calling Jesus made. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And immediately they left their boats and they followed him. immediately. Immediately they recognize that calling on their lives. I think so often as Christians, we feel the need to use dozens of words when our role model, Jesus, the one whose way we should be following, uses so few. Come follow me and I will send out you out to fish for people. To these disciples, they'd be thinking, what does that mean? But they still chose to get off the boat and to follow him. Jesus did not set out to persuade. He did not beg. He did not bribe. He did not sell. He did not make false promises. He did not give more information than was necessary. He barely gave any information at all. Over the next few weeks during Lent, we are going to explore the Jesus way by going through the book of Matthew and discovering how to be more Christ-like. I believe that this passage tells us to speak less and to listen more. God has a calling for each and every one of us. Not just those working for the church, but all of us. And these disciples, they were not academics. They were not intellectuals. They followed Jesus, I believe, because they knew, intrinsically knew, that he was special. They were Jews. They knew someone special was coming. And they could see that glory shining through in Jesus. And they didn't want to miss out on that. Of course they didn't. So as we discuss the calling of God in relation to the Jesus way, I ponder this. Are you missing out by talking too much and listening too little? Are you showing the glory of God? Historians, and this is according to Tom Wright, believe that the only way Jesus could have drawn the crowds that he did, get the followers the way he did, was in his healing ministry. The healing he did was a sign of power he had through God. Now, the fishermen may have heard of this and followed him. This is another example of that choice. But they also fully embraced Jesus' mission on their lives. Tom Wright goes on to ask what draws in the crowds today. He believes it's entertainment, football, sports, things like that, and tragedy. Uses the example of Princess Diana dying. And that's what draws in the crowds. But we need to think what we need to do to draw in those crowds as well, as Jesus did. What can we do that is different? What can we say that makes people want to come quickly and follow the call of come follow me? We need to listen for the answer. And then we'll be on that Jesus way. And the disciples didn't really know what their calling meant. They didn't know the consequences or effects that that decision to follow Jesus would have. But they just knew that this man Jesus was special. And we still ask this question so often now, aren't we? Why do you believe in God? Why do you give up your Sunday mornings or various evenings? Why do you pray? Why Jesus? We have the added benefit of Jesus' resurrection, the hope that that secures. But we can also learn from these disciples and just say it's a leap of faith. They took a leap of faith and they jumped on a road to eternity with him. They weren't inspired by words because Jesus didn't say many words at this point. They were inspired by faith. They trusted that it would be worth the struggle. And they were right. But this passage was only about day one. Every day, these guys got up with the capacity to stop following Jesus. They got up with the capacity and ability to return to their jobs, their trades, their livelihoods, their families. And every day, they woke up and they chose to follow Jesus all over again. My hope and my prayer for this congregation is that we wake up every day and choose to follow Jesus over and over again. I don't just mean remaining Christians every day. I mean waking up every day. I mean waking up every day and carrying our crosses with us everywhere we go. Do you ever wake up and think to yourself, I really don't want to have that God conversation again with that atheist colleague of mine? I know I used to have that brewing every day. The Jesus way means changing that attitude. It means following him faithfully, serving him faithfully, wanting those conversations, praying for those conversations on a daily basis, being where God has called you to be, but fully being there, not just physically, but spiritually too. And the disciples, they learnt on the go. As I mentioned earlier, they were not well-read men. They were not even travellers. Following Jesus took them figuratively and literally out of their comfort zones. As we walk through this Jesus Way series for Lent, I urge you to consider, when was the last time you moved out of your comfort zone for your faith? The disciples, they did so in a heartbeat. Jesus chose his disciples, and they would go on and would go on to empower them, but not before taking them to a place they had never been before. Sylvia Wilkie, in her book Making Disciples, puts it like this: Jesus structured their lives and activities in such a way that they were constantly being challenged to question and learn from a multiplicity of informal situations. These included the new thoughts, attitudes, and values which came as they left the familiarity of their homes, families, occupations, and cultural norms, and moved into a community composed of fellow learners from a variety of backgrounds, moving around the provinces of Galilee and Judea. Wow. Look at all of that they had to do out of their comfort zone. All the new learnings, all the new questions that would have come up, new thoughts, new attitudes, new values, moving away from familiarity. We as Christians can and often are guilty of being too comfortable in our faith, too comfortable in our lives. The sacrifice of these disciples is so significant because they didn't just pay lip service to the Jesus way. They didn't just mumble under their breath to their friends, "Yes, I believe in Jesus." No, they fully invested. They answered the call. They invested their hearts, their minds, their souls, their livelihoods, their lives for the one they would go on to recognize as the Messiah. So no, following Jesus is not meant to be easy. And please don't take that as a negative statement, because it's not meant to be. If you put it in the context of a job, how many of us have left the job because it just wasn't challenging enough for us? How many of us have explained the decision by saying, "I just fancied a new challenge"? Your primary job on this earth is to be a follower and a servant of Jesus Christ. Are you up for a new challenge? Are you up for the challenge, however difficult it may be? Jesus did not set out to give us an easy life. He set us out to be fishers of men and women, no matter where that may lead us, however uncomfortable that may become. Jesus may be calling you to overseas mission this morning. Go. He may be calling into ministry. Go. He may be willing you to stick at a job you hate. Stay. He may be calling you to leave that job you love. Go. He may be calling you to follow him for the first time. Follow him. It may not be easy, and we want to pray for you in that journey, and we want to support you with that. But I urge you to do what God is calling you to do, or at least to test that calling. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter writes, "You are a chosen people." This is referring to all of us. "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Wow. A royal priesthood. Do we live like we're a chosen people? Do we declare the praises of him that have given us this amazing rewards? I know I don't yet, but I want to. I want to listen to God and to praise him like I should, to praise him like he deserves, to follow his calling. Because is it worth it? Darn right it's worth it. To give up temptations of this life, to be part of the royal priesthood, to be a chosen person of God. Yes, please. In Jesus, we have won the lottery. We really have. But we so often act and behave like we've gained a chore. Following the calling of Jesus is not easy, but it's not a chore either. The reward far, far, far outweighs the burdens of the call. And I pray that we remember that. And you know what? For all the mistakes that these disciples made on that road with Jesus, and there were a fair few, Peter was particularly guilty. One thing that was clear, certainly at this stage, was that they knew that they were in the presence of someone special. The disciples recognized that it was a privilege, regardless of the financial and other burdens, that it was a privilege to be in the presence of Jesus, their Lord. Are you willing to utilize your privileged place in God's kingdom and serve him how he sees fit? Are you willing to immediately follow Jesus, even if that means leaving your comfort zone? We sing all sorts of songs, such as "I Will Offer Up My Life in Spirit and Truth," "I Surrender All," "I Will Give My Every Part." We sing promises to our Lord in worship. But my prayer is that we don't just sing it, that we live it, like these disciples did. And if you think you can't do it, remember that you would not be doing it anyway in your own strength. We believe in a God who strengthens us, with whom, with enough faith, we can move mountains. Following God's calling is not always easy, but maybe we don't need it to be easy. Maybe we just need it to be worth it. And I believe it is worth it. I believe that God is calling each and every one of us this morning. It might not be a big extreme change, but he is calling you to follow him. Are you willing to take up that call? So what do we do next? How can we learn from these disciples? There's a few things. Firstly, we can be obedient. In these cases, disciples left immediately answered the call. It may be, though, that your calling has been revealed to you little by little. Certainly, the disciples' true calling was revealed to them through Jesus' ministry, not all at once. But in all of this, they were still obedient to the call. It may not escape your attention that I'm up here talking about calling, and I've yet to mention my own calling into ministry. And that's partly out of shame. I resisted my calling for quite a while, but God broke down those barriers and put me on this path. I looked jealously on at these disciples and their immediate obedience, as I didn't have the courage to do that. But you know what? God is using me anyway. I'm a reluctant Jonah, as opposed to an obedient Andrew. (laughs) not that Andrew. But God, as he always does, found a way. Jesus, later on in Matthew, referring to the calling, in Matthew 22:14, says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Be obedient to God's calling, and he will choose you. And secondly, we should not be doing anything that is not modeled on Jesus and his calling on our lives. When Jesus said, "Come follow me," to the disciples, when he said it to us, he didn't mean for a day, a week, a month, a year. He didn't. He meant forever. He meant for eternity. We need to be following Jesus in our day-to-day lives, our day-to-day callings. We need to follow him in how we talk to people, how we listen, the people we choose to talk to, how we serve our poor and our marginalized. God calls us to follow the examples set by Jesus, and the Gospels are jam-packed with his healing, his help for the poor, his support for the marginalized. And I feel God is calling us all to do the same while choosing to follow him every day. And much like the disciples, we have the ultimate teacher, the ultimate role model in our Lord Jesus. We need to read, we need to listen, and we need to follow him. And that's in everything. Not in everything but this, or everything but that. It's in everything, full stop. The Jesus way is choosing to follow Jesus. Jesus is calling in your life every single day. And my prayer is that we all make that choice, either for the first time or for the 100th time, again this morning. I just pray that we choose to follow Jesus' calling on our lives. And it's worth it. It's hard, it's sacrificial, but it's worth it. It's worth it to no longer be tied to this broken world, but to be tied to the next one. It's worth it that we get to live in God's glorious presence every single day. And it's worth making that choice every single day. I'm going to invite the band up now. But while they come up, can I just urge you, if you sat there this morning and you've realized that you want to follow Jesus, maybe for the first time, that you want to choose to follow the calling of this Jesus on your life, that you come to the front where our prayer team will be and where I will be, and ask for prayer and help us to support you with that. We'd love to welcome you into the family. Or if you've been a Christian for a while, but you'd like to recommit to following Jesus' calling today, to embrace your calling to serve God wherever that may be, and to be a true disciple of God, then please come and pray as well. We'd love to pray with you. No one's going to judge. No one is going to look at you. But it gives us the opportunity to help you and serve him. I have a poster on my pin board upstairs, and it says, "We aren't called to fill the pews with members. We are called to fill the world with disciples." That's my personal prayer, and that's my personal calling I feel this morning. So I'm going to pray before Andrew and the band lead us in some worship together, and then I'll be over there with the prayer team if anybody would like prayer. So Lord Jesus, we want to be people that follow you wherever you call us. Whether for the first time, as it was for those four disciples, or for the 100th time, we commit ourselves to a lifetime of service for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took the pain and the suffering for our sins, and help us remember that every day as we follow you. Lord Jesus, when the road is tough, help us to keep following you and what you call us to do. Remind us of the strength you grant us. When the road is less tough, help us to give you the glory. But Lord, no matter what the road, help it to be one that leads us to you. Help us to have the courage to listen to your calling, Lord. In your precious name, amen.